This week's scripture is from Luke 12. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge me before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes me against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. The word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Well, hello, Woodman. So a couple of weeks ago, I shared how the combination of some Ace Tone and some old-fashioned effort literally transformed our soapstone counters. And since then, many of you have apparently developed a deep interest in countertop maintenance because you keep asking me so many questions about it. And just a disclaimer, I am not in any way a countertop expert. I am a shepherd. And as such, I feel it is my duty to tell you, just please be careful. If you are going to use Ace Tone, I really, 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 really need you to heed the warnings. Let's, just for my own peace of mind, let's just read this bit together. Okay, no. Danger, extremely flammable, harmful if swallowed or inhaled, causes irritation. That's real, right? I mean, you receive that. None of you, I hope, are thinking, well, they're just being dramatic. None of you are asking, how harmful if swallowed? We need to take it seriously because we all understand there's a real danger. And because there's a real danger, there's a real warning. Well, in our text this morning, Jesus is going to give us a real warning too. And I wonder if we are going to receive it with the same level of seriousness. When God warns us of things, to our embarrassment sometimes, we can think, well, he's just being an alarmist. Sometimes I think we can think to ourselves, he's just being overly cautious. We need to ask for sober spirits to take seriously what his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is going to warn us about. So if you would, allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, I think we all can relate to a degree. You certainly are intimately familiar with all of your warnings that I have blown past, thought it really didn't matter, Forgive me. Forgive us all. Lord, would you now give us soft hearts, listening ears? Would we take seriously what it is your Son is about to tell us? Help me not to mess up and be glorified here, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you would, turn to Luke chapter 12. My name's Josh. I serve as one of the pastors here. And last weekend, we saw Jesus tear into the Pharisees. I mean, he went up one side, down the other, and now he turns to us, his followers, and he's going to say, we are susceptible to the very same things. It is a real warning. Verse 1. In the meantime, with so many thousands of the people, when so many of the thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Even though Jesus had ripped into the Pharisees, it did not stop thousands of people from wanting to listen to him. Intently so. Luke describes it as people were trampling over one another. And I don't think by that Luke is trying to communicate people were being crushed. But I do think perhaps it was more like little old ladies elbowing disciples in the ribs so that they could get up a little closer. We might say it was standing room only. People were interested. But notice, who does Jesus address first? He's got a large crowd, some seekers, some followers. And who does he talk to first? His disciples. And what was his message to his disciples that day? Beware. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, oftentimes when we hear the word hypocrisy, we think of someone who pretends. They pretend to hold a moral position or a belief that they don't actually have. But here Jesus, I think, is getting at something deeper. The word's a little more nuanced. Because we saw in the text last weekend, it wasn't just that the Pharisees' insides didn't match their behavior. No, the issue was that their religious pursuits had actually become disconnected from the God they were claiming to serve. Now, there was an internal disconnect. And Jesus says, be careful. Beware. Now, before packaged yeast, people would hold back a portion of fermented dough. It was that portion that they called leaven. And they would take that leaven and they would work it into their next batch of dough. And the leaven didn't make any sound. It didn't announce its progress. It just did its thing and spread. The problem was, leaven could go bad. Leaven could spoil. And if you mixed bad leaven into fresh dough, it didn't make any sound, didn't announce its progress. It just spoiled the whole thing. This is a real warning. Jesus is warning us that the same thing can happen in our hearts too. We can continue to go through religious motions while something other than God begins to determine them. And all the people around us, those who are closest to us, may have no idea that it's happening. We should all pause and ask ourselves, might that be happening in me? Because Jesus says it could. But then he offers a warm encouragement. Verse 2. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. Now, depending on your perspective, this could either be heard as a positive or a negative. But for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, I'm telling you, there really is a warm encouragement here. Essentially, what is said, what is done in private, will one day be revealed. That could be negative. I mean, if one is merely going through the motions, if they are putting on an act before others, but they're behaving differently when they're not on stage, this should be a real warning. But it's also positive. It's positive in that you may not have a big stage on which you live. Much of your faithfulness could happen where very few people see it. But nothing is hidden from God. And what is presently hidden will one day be revealed. I had a rather terrifying run-in with this a couple of weeks ago. I was washing one of our cars when our eldest son showed up, just as I was receiving a notification for a group text. Now, I don't know what happened here, but a few minutes later, my wife texted me and said, "I don't think you meant to send that to Chris and Sarah." And sheer terror filled my heart because I'm like, what on earth did I send? And somehow, Siri poorly recorded our conversation, Caleb and I, and sent it to him. Now, in that case, it was rather uninteresting banter. And I got out of it relatively unscathed. There are other times in my life, however, when it would not have been so flattering. The question becomes, how do we speak? How do we behave in private? Now, there are times where what I have said to a few, I would have been proud to say before many. Jesus here reminds us, though, that whatever is hidden will not always remain so. Does that warm your heart, or does it scare it? Now, if you have been journeying with us the last couple of weeks, you'll know that we've been in a bit of a slap-hug cycle. Jesus has been saying some very difficult things, but offsetting them with that which is encouraging. And this next little bit is a hug, though it may not be the warm and cozy kind some of us are accustomed to. But it is a healthy perspective. Verse 4. I tell you, my friends. I tell you, my friends. Do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he is killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Only two verses long, but it reveals two weighty realities. The first, it's a sobering acknowledgement of the enormous influence the religious authorities, the Pharisees, the experts in the law had over the people in Israel in Jesus' day. For them, following Jesus came with a cost. It could cost them socially. It could cost them relationally. It could cost them religiously. I mean, we saw that elsewhere in the Gospels where there was that man born blind and Jesus healed him. And the religious leaders were not a fan and they dragged his parents in and said, was this guy born blind? And they didn't want to answer. They didn't want to get involved. And why? For fear that they'd get kicked out of the synagogue. We saw it at the burial of Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea, a follower of Christ, but secretly. Why? Because he was afraid. The second reality, though, Jesus takes the prospect even further. What is he getting at? He's low-key telling them all, for some of you, opposition will cost you your life. You will not simply be kicked out of the synagogue. They will put you to death. Now, some of you could legitimately be asking, in what way is this possibly a hug? Right? Well, it's more of a bear hug. Because notice how Jesus describes it. Even the person who can kill you afterwards has nothing more they can do to you. They can end your earthly life, but they have no power over the next. People may hurt you. They may even kill you. Always keep in mind how little power the person who kills you ultimately has. When faced with opposition, it's not those who harm us that we need to fear, but the one who holds our eternal destiny in his hands. Now, this is what the missionary Jim Elliot was getting at when he said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Now, I pray that you and I never have to face a martyr's death. But I also pray that you and I live with a martyr's perspective. Because most of us are going to face something far less severe, but far more common. And that is the pressure to be liked. To be accepted. To be wanted, to have the approval of people whose opinions seem to matter. And when their approval begins to sway how we live, we need a healthier perspective. Whose approval are you afraid to lose? Who has an unhealthy influence over you? And would you be helped by having a healthier perspective? And before you answer, you may need a tender reminder. Verse 6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. This is a tender reminder, but it's not one that overlooks the elephant in the room. 5 sparrows for 2 pennies was an inexpensive dinner. Maybe a little like, sort of like going to Costco and getting a rotisserie chicken today. I don't think any of us have gone to pick up our rotisserie chicken and paused and had a moment of reflection for all the chickens there that gave their lives so that we could have dinner. And yet, Jesus says, none of them are forgotten before God. The spiritual equation behind the reminder is that their death does not mean they've escaped God's notice. Then in verse 7, Jesus leans more on the tender side, telling us that God's interest in us extends even to the inconsequential. With love and respect to all of you, the amount of hair on your head communicates virtually nothing important about you. But the fact that God knows every hair on your head communicates something profound about him. I mean, right now, he could go up and down these aisles and he could be like 100 and 1,222. 97,444. 7. He knows exactly things about you that nobody pays any attention to. He is intimately aware of who we are. And we are more valuable than many sparrows. And maybe this is the only reminder you need this weekend. You are intimately and individually cherished by your Heavenly Father. Even details that those who are closest to you may overlook, God sees and takes note of. And though the things we walk through may not be pleasant, none of them is evidence that his love for us is diminished. Remember, God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I think we all need that reminder sometimes. And consequently, we need to cling to this sobering promise, verse 8. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. It's a dense few verses, and we're going to break it into 3 parts. The first 2 are actually incredibly practical and life-giving. The 3rd is sobering in the reality that it points. The first part is that we need to confess Christ as Lord. Jesus is saying, if you acknowledge me, I will acknowledge you. But if you deny me, I will deny you. And as Jesus has already in our passage made reference to the reality of hell, the consequences for denial have eternal impact. The second part, though, is that regardless of what you may have thought in the past, today could be a day of salvation for you, should you choose. It really is beautiful. Because what is Jesus acknowledging? He's acknowledging that you can speak a word against the Son of Man and be forgiven. You could have in the past said something about me and then come to your senses and you will be forgiven. We can think of people like the Apostle Peter and his denial at Jesus' trial, right? He denies even knowing Jesus 3 times and he was welcomed back. We can think of the Apostle Paul hunting Christians, breathing murderous threats against Christians until he realized he was wrong. And he acknowledged his sin. And Jesus welcomed him. And if you put those first two together, you have a picture of amazing grace. Even if you have vehemently opposed Jesus Christ in the past, should you decide to confess him as Lord today, he will forgive you and welcome you wholeheartedly into relationship with him. The third part, however, states the unfortunate reality for those who would choose not to. You can deny Jesus and then change your mind. But an ongoing, settled, and persistent rejection of the Holy Spirit, that's dangerous. You say, why? It's because the Spirit is the one who brings us to repentance and faith. And to persistently reject his testimony is to reject the very means by which we come to Jesus for forgiveness. Now, ironically, verse 10 and the others like it in the New Testament, they often strike terror into the wrong audience. I mean, those who are grieved by the possibility that they have rejected God, but they long for his forgiveness, that very concern they hold is evidence they've not committed that sin. They realize they were wrong. They want his forgiveness, and Jesus will forgive. On the other hand, if you are listening to me this morning, and you have no interest in his forgiveness, you never have. You think what I am saying is foolish, and you have no need of him. Well, that lack of concern could be evidence that your heart is harder than you think. Now, in context, I'm not sure that Jesus' listeners at the time would have fully appreciated all that he was communicating. But in time, they would fully understand. A public profession of Jesus Christ could result in a martyr's death. And though I am paraphrasing, Jesus is communicating, if that time comes, don't worry about it. You acknowledge me. I will acknowledge you. I've got your back. I wonder if today is the day that you acknowledge him as Lord. Not because that relationship will solve all of your problems. Not that he's going to make you popular at school. Not that he's going to make you more profitable at work. No, I wonder if today you confess Christ as Lord because you cannot deny the pressure that is on your heart. His Spirit is at work in you. And you know you need something to take away your shame. to relieve you of your guilt. Should you confess Christ as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead for the forgiveness of your sins, you will be saved. Is today the day that you acknowledge him as your own? There is a profound assurance for those of us who have done so. Look at verse 11. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Now, that is admittedly not the instruction that most parents or educators would necessarily want to give to their students, right? If you have a final upcoming that will have extraordinary consequences on your earthly life, a little anxiety may be helpful. It might be good to sit down and think in advance, how am I going to answer this question? Study would be smart. And in those cases, I think Jesus agrees. But in this case, it's very different. When it is a matter of life or death, and the reason you find yourself in that position is because of your allegiance to Christ, you need not worry a moment about what you will say or how you will defend yourself. The Holy Spirit will come to your aid in real time and give you everything you are to say. Now, admittedly, I am not sure that many of us, if any, will ever find ourselves in that position. But I am sure that the leaven of the Pharisees is a real threat. And not because I think anything less of any of you, but because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tells us to beware. He's telling us this can happen, and you need to be careful. How might he be calling you to respond? I want to pray, and then we will commit ourselves to our dependence upon him in song. And afterwards, I do hope, regardless of which campus you are at listening to me right now, I do hope that you would consider how we might link arms as a community of faith and take a moment and visit our ministry fair. For those of you online, it's a longer drive, but we would still love to have you. But for those of us in our campuses right now, don't just scurry off. Come and visit. And visit with a soft heart. And I want to pray, visit with a willing heart, ready to respond to whatever it is he leads you to. Amen? Let me pray. Our God and Father, give us soft hearts and forgive us for ever thinking we know better or that we can do this on our own. Father, heeding these warnings, living a life fueled by your Spirit, it's not something we do in isolation. We do it in partnership with you and through the support of the community of faith, the church that you've given us. And so, Father, this morning, instead of just jumping up to sing, would we all take a beat and reflect? Some of us need to heed a warning. Some of us need to remind ourselves of how deeply cherished we are. All of us need to listen. Speak to us loudly, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.